Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Phoenix is Travis Miller. Travis is the General Counsel at Ascent Compliance. Travis, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Sure thing, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Now, we're going to be talking today about supply chain issues. And let me dive in by asking, first off, what are some of the emerging risks you're seeing from a compliance perspective when looking at supply chains?
Sure. Well, I'd say supply chains are really emerging as a dominant concept, almost a new kind of compliance area or segment within the normal corporation. People are looking at everything from trade compliance matters, vendor management issues associated with cybersecurity, privacy, into product compliance concerns and controls, your ROSs, REACHs, California's Prop 65, all the way into general CSR and supply chain transparency controls, hallmarked by kind of the conflict minerals, modern slavery style requirements, and other broad-based corporate social responsibility disclosures.
Well, there's certainly a lot of these emerging risks. Now, while it's easy to focus on these new risks, there are old ones to watch out for as well. Any of those of particular note lately?
I would say so. Probably a big reemergence. Of course, it also depends on what you mean by old. I argue that pretty much the entire supply chain compliance area really isn't that much more than a decade old. But if you kind of look at some of the original supply chain compliance concerns, things like packaging, Wee battery, ROS style requirements, those are now coming back to the forefront as the rules and regulations are changing. Europe's focusing on circular economy, and just the general population is starting to have a greater concern related to what it is that's happening, not just with the brands and the companies that they know, but also across the folks that are actually building and contributing to those brands' products before they make those purchases.
Now, lately, I seem to be doing a lot of podcasts which end up talking on supply chain issue. There's human trafficking and modern slavery concern. There are issues with technology from Huawei and other companies, economic sanctions that apply to both actors and nation states, plus, of course, FCPA and other anti-corruption laws. How can a compliance team best coordinate its efforts to ensure it's getting a full picture of its supply chain risks?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of it comes down to centralization. Since Henry Ford, folks have always tried to silo different business units, different functions. And while that's great for efficiency, it also creates blind spots. And it's those blind spots where a lot of the supply chain and even more intrinsically, a lot of the corporate social responsibility and supply chain transparency type of initiatives are really kind of focusing. So what I mean by that, if you kind of look at how you put a product together from the initial design phase, moving into prototype, starting to do strategic sourcing, all the way into upscale or increased manufacturing, and then all the way into kind of customer sales and logistics and move it. Along those lines, there's stop gaps, design controls and reviews. But if that data doesn't exist, or if it's disparately spread out across different business units, if it's stored in different operational silos or IT departments, or if it happens to reside just on some person's laptop somewhere, it's impossible for the business to make strategic decisions and to design for compliance and to incorporate some of those requirements into some of that sourcing activity and to make some of those core decisions that will dictate whether that company can sell their product into a given market, say Europe or California, or whether they could lose entire market access for not having the data when they need it.
Now, there's a lot of emphasis companies put up front in terms of vetting members of their supply chain. How can an organization make sure that a firm that gets past the initial review continues to perform not just in terms of delivering products, but living up to its ethical and legal obligations?
Yeah, there's a number of tools that have emerged, and it's one of the miracles of the time that we live, where technology is allowing us to do so much more than we ever could have dreamed of. A first attribute is just continuous monitoring. And I really think of this as taking three different data points and triangulating them into a position where you can make those types of informed decisions. The first data point is your known knowns, and that's just aggregated information that exists inside the company and putting it into one place. So if you're looking for all the HTS classifications, if you're looking at various actor activity for country of origin, if you're looking at if they're compliant with different product rules, if you're looking at if they meet CSR standards, all that information is probably sitting in different locations in the organization. So just putting it in one place is a big first step. That second data point is really starting to think about your known unknowns. And this is information that companies know exists. They just aren't privy to it, and they've never taken the effort to go and get it so they can make some of those decisions. That's generally going to be like-kind information from what you might gather that exists inside your supply chain or inside your third-party intermediaries. And that can be information about how they've classified goods. It can be information about all the various factories that could produce something for you. It could be information about the activities, the physical labor practices, the policies that they've implemented. And then refreshing that information on some type of a cyclical cadence, usually an annual campaign that allows you to make sure that information remains current, accurate, and true. And then lastly, just holding those two pieces of data up to the light and seeing where you have inconsistencies, where information is coming in that's disparate, and then bringing in or incorporating any type of third-party expert or some type of internal expert that can review it and triage and handle some of those discrepancies with some grace and understanding.
So some of that data, as you mentioned, is being held by the vendor and supplier. What's the best way to get that information out of them? And I assume if they're not forthcoming, that's obviously going to be a red flag for you.
That's true. I'd say from my experience, there's generally three reasons why a supplier doesn't respond. The first is they've got no idea what you're talking about. And that usually boils down to education. You know, largest companies in the world might have entire departments associated with this. They probably are outsourcing using legal expertise, you know, trying to get their arms around the various rules and requirements. To consolidate all of that data, all that information, all that understanding down to a digestible format so somebody can actually understand what you're going to ask them and you can prepare them and teach your supply chain that this is going to become an annual requirement is really quite critical. The second big area, the reason why suppliers don't respond is because, you know, in a nutshell, you made it too hard and it's just too expensive for them to do so. Say, for example, you have a $50,000 spend with a given supplier, and now you're going to throw a bunch of compliance requirements at them that may require them to spend $20,000 or $30,000 on compliance. Well, you've obliterated the entire ROI. And unless you're kind of working with industry standards, norms, centralizing data, partnering with other organizations, you're never going to be able to eradicate that. So it really becomes a we all hang together or we hang separate kind of mentality to make sure that ROI makes sense for the supply chain to implement a program like this and that it's standardized enough. And then, of course, the third reason is, well, they probably got a reason they don't want to respond. And that might be because there's a non-compliance. They might know that if they tell you the country of origin is inland China, you're going to be subject to major tariffs and costs, and it's going to sway your decision making. So this is where tariff dodging, it can be non-compliances, the use of maybe slaves can all start to kick in. Now, the trick there is, of course, just because that person doesn't tell you doesn't mean it's not going to get figured out by the regulators. Really, that buzzword bingo that we all pay attention to, you know, big data analytics, AI, you know, mass screening. Well, the government's got all that, too, just probably a little bit more enhanced. So really kind of keeping up with the regulations and, you know, making sure that you have some of that data and that technology at your disposal is critical to be able to establish a compliance program that's acceptable and that can pass audit and muster.
All right. Now, finally, last question is, what do you see for the future when it comes to supply chain compliance?
I think it's going to continue on the trajectory that it has. And practically speaking, it's going to become the dominant theme. I can tell you, when I started my career, I used to walk into rooms and talk about things like product compliance in Europe, and the question would be, you know, who's Ross, and where do you want me to reach? I don't understand, not knowing that those were rules and regulations that people had to deal with. So that's changed entirely. These are now some of the fundamental issues that people are talking about. If you just look at what's going on in the United States right now with trade and the U.S.-China trade war, there's been about $90 billion worth of new tariffs and taxes that are added to the economy on an annual basis based upon supply chain matters, country of origin, HTS, basic stuff that's existed out there for eternity, but nobody paid that much attention to. Now it's on the lips of everybody in every boardroom. You know, I would really kind of agree to the recent Forbes article. Probably the CEOs of tomorrow are going to be the guys that are in supply chain today, because they're going to really understand intrinsically what it means to run an organization in the global kind of outsourced ecosystem and how important it is to have this data at your disposal so you can make those strategic business decisions that will keep you away from getting into that big trouble. So that's what I would forecast and see. More regulations, more attention, more data, more technology having to be dedicated to this space, and really an intrinsic function being established in the org chart that's dedicated to supply chain compliance.
Wow. Well, it'll be an interesting future for all of us to watch. Travis, I want to thank you for sharing those insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.